A new international study led by a research team at QMIR Berghofer, Queensland, has identified biological and genetic differences which may explain this gap. The research, the largest of its kind, analysed data from over 400,000 people worldwide, including a significant Australian cohort. It revealed women and men may experience different biological pathways to depression and discovered 6,000 different DNA changes that could cause depression in females only. The Wire's Tia Bailey spoke with Senior Research Officer Dr. Brittany Mitchell, co-lead author of the study.
Our group's really interested in depression and the role that genetics plays in depression risk. And we've known for a long time that genetics does play quite a substantial role in depression risk. But what we've also known is that depression looks very different from one person to another. And one of the big differences are what depression looks like between men and women. This is in all aspects, but one of the most common ones or almost prevalent ones is the prevalence. So we know that women are about twice as likely to be diagnosed with depression in their lifetime. And that's quite a big difference. And so what we were really interested to do is combine our interest in genetics and see if genetics is part of this reason on why women are diagnosed at a lot higher rate than men.
As you have touched on there, how does your study investigate the way in which we understand the differences in the female experience and the ways they express depression compared to men?
I think one of the important things around the study is that we did just focus on the genetic aspect, and we're by no means saying that genetics is everything. And we know that many things plays a role, environment, different life experiences. What we were able to show in the study is that genetics or people's biology also contribute to these differences.
How could these sex-specific insights inform the way in which mental health services or prevention programs to be designed for women or for high-risk groups more broadly?
You know, I think what we've shown is that just that they experience different types of depression. And this is really important when we come to treatment. You know, depression treatment really is lagging behind other medical conditions, and there's a lot of reasons for this. But we're still in this kind of one-size-fits-all and trial-and-error basis where, you know, you try one medication, see if it works. After a while, if it's not working, they'll put you on something else. And then, you know, if we've got these different biological differences and these different pathways that are happening in the brain, we could potentially use this to personalize medication better and make sure that people are getting the more effective medication sooner. And with that, sex is a really important part, and to perhaps men and women need to be treated differently.
With this being an international study, does the data tell us anything different about the Australian populace comparative to other countries?
Not specifically, but we are really excited and really proud of the Australian contribution. We've got an amazing big cohort that was collected. It was based here in Brisbane, called the Australian Genetics of Depression Study. And it was through this cohort that we were able to lead the study. And so we're really proud of being able to lead from Australia on a worldwide stage, and the contribution that Australians have made by volunteering both their time to do the questionnaire and their saliva sample that we're able to get DNA from. And this is really just the start. We've got so many more interesting questions to look at that would be more Australian specific. So now we know about the DNA changes, but there's a lot of environment and differences in that we can start to look at how that interacts with the DNA.
With all this in mind, what are the next steps for this research? For example, potentially looking at intersex individuals or multicultural and ethnic influences, and how can collaboration with communities help guide future studies and interventions?
We've been very careful in the study. You know, when we try to talk about it, we talk specifically about sex and not about gender. And that's, you know, gender is a very big term, and it can mean a lot of different things. And there are many, you know, different types of genders. And so we're just looking at what we'd call chromosomal sex, or sex inferred by chromosomes. But that doesn't accurately represent everyone, right? And so we've got a lot more to do around that, as well as looking at the role of gender and not chromosomal sex. And then other ancestries is a huge priority for us, and that's something that we really need to do. The data is really lacking in that. Most of the data we have are from people of European ancestry, and it's just not good enough. Like, if you want to get to the point where we're personalizing medicine and getting new medications, we want that to be representative of everyone. So our future work's really to try and incorporate and expand who we're looking at.
Dr. Brittany Mitchell from QIMR Berghofer there, speaking with The Wire's Tia Bailey.